This is the voice of the Vortex. Hello. Today is September 28th, 2010. I had the pleasure of meeting Nettie Okorafor at this year's WisCon. She is mighty. I first encountered her writing on the Clark's World podcast when they played The Lost Diaries of Tree Frog 7. When I had the opportunity to speak to Dr. Okorafor at WisCon, I admitted to her that I hadn't really understood what happened at the end of that story. She told me that she didn't understand it either. From The Lost Diary of Tree Frog 7, her novels Zara the Windseeker, Who Fears Death, and Shadow Speaker are all set in a strange world that exists slantwise to our own. In this world, familiar technologies are replaced by living plants and animals. Buildings and computers, for example, are grown from seeds rather than built. Different tribes of humans wear clothes made of beads or mirrors sewn into their sleeves, and some children are born with vines growing in their hair. Dr. Okorafor's work is heavily influenced by West African mythology, giving it a different set of base assumptions than the speculative fiction I'm used to. This world is called Gainan, and each of her stories approaches Gainan from a different point of view. The Lost Diaries of Tree Frog 7 are narrated by an adult woman and her husband as they explore the forbidden greeny jungle, facing down surreal animals and the frailties of their own flesh. Clark's World chose to present this story in a way that only an online magazine could. The entries that Tree Frog 7 and her husband make in the Forbidden Greeny Jungle Field Guide are all clickable links to audio files. It gives the story a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy feel, though the voice of this guide is uniquely that of Tree Frog 7. Zara the Windseeker is the story of a young woman facing down her fears, both internal and external. She is one of the children born with vines in her hair, for which the other kids give her endless grief. She lives in a town surrounded by the forbidden greeny jungle, though the adults try to pretend that the jungle doesn't exist. Naturally, Zara must travel into this jungle to save a friend's life and to find out who she really is. One thing I enjoyed about this book is its persistent, infectious, wide-eyed wonder at the world. The forbidden greeny jungle is full of things that can kill you, but it's also a beautiful place, and the narrator never lets you forget that. Shadow Speaker has a very different tone. It starts out in our world, a future version of our world, that has been remade by magical terrorist bombs that tore holes between our world and the world of Gainan. This isn't yet another story of when the magic came back, though. It is set in Niger, and the protagonist, Eiji, is a young woman who saw her father beheaded, who sometimes chooses to wear a burqa, and whose gift is something darker and more frightening than Zara's vines. Eiji is on a quest of self-discovery, but she's also trying to stop a war. Zara the Windseeker and Shadow Speaker are intended for a younger audience. Dr. Okorafor's most recent book, as of this podcast, is Who Fears Death, and it is intended for adults. I have a copy of this book sitting on my pile of books to read, but I haven't picked it up yet. Who Fears Death deals with events in the Sudan, and rape as a weapon of genocide. The reading that Dr. Okorafor gave at WisCon moved me deeply, an effect only partially spoiled when a man in the audience stood up and called her a liar. I will read Who Fears Death eventually. Ever since I read Tree Frog 7, I have craved new windows into the world of Gainan. These stories do not walk the line between science fiction and fantasy, as far as I'm concerned. They make the line irrelevant. Call it science or call it magic, these stories are enthralling either way. The WisCon where I met Dr. Okorafor was also where Lightspeed magazine held its debut party. Lightspeed is the science fiction sister of Fantasy magazine. They publish two pieces of original fiction and two reprints every month via ebook download, as well as one story and one fact article every week for free on their website. I prefer to listen to their podcast. The production values are high, and the narrators are very talented. Lightspeed is clearly paying attention to the podcasting market. So far, I have been impressed by the quality of the fiction published in Lightspeed. In particular, the story Flower, Mercy, Needle, Chain by Yoon Ha Lee has been nibbling around the corners of my mind ever since I listened to it. It is the story of a weapon and a woman and a universe in which there is only one human because there have never been any humans. I recommend it. And now, your moment of Who.
This is Phil Collins, and you're listening to Radio Free Scaro.
Anyone who might listen to this in the UK,
you will guffaw with amazement.
Yeah, it looks like you need a Piers Wenger in here. That's a load-bearing Wenger.
I feel the impact of Torchwood.
But we had such hope for the character. Thinking, oh, wow, look at Adric, he's great. I'm sure he's starting off a little shaky here, but he'll come around. We've riled him up.
Do we need all these singing-type things for a bunch of nerds?
Pardon me, Pedantor.
That's me, Pedantor of the gutter.
There's the typical Burgess modesty we've all come to know and loathe.
This show has always been about warts and all, by God, and we'll keep doing it.
It's up on RadioFreeScaro.com.
Hooray!
Project Ozma was the first attempt to find extraterrestrial intelligence by listening to radio transmissions from nearby stars. While Project Ozma lasted for only 3 months, in 1960, the experiment continued under the name SETI. Recently, I discovered a number of conspiracy theories surrounding Project Ozma, most following the same tired formula. Scientists discover something amazing, and the government makes them cover it up. In the years since Project Ozma, SETI has expanded into a worldwide effort, privately funded and outsourced via SETI at home to personal computers everywhere. Frank Drake, the man who ran Project Ozma back in the 60s, is still alive and teaching at the University of California. Administrations have come and gone. Arecibo was built, and the Soviet Union fell. And yet, there are still people who believe that Project Ozma found a signal coming from Tau Ceti and decoded it, and that everyone involved has been hiding this fact for the last 50 years. Because the government thought it would be too disturbing and told them to. Science doesn't work like that. Consider the controversy over who discovered the dwarf planet Haumea. The Ortiz team may or may not have used the Caltech team's observation logs in order to beat them to publication. In science, precedence is gold. If there really was a signal coming from Tau Ceti, then the first team of scientists to publish it would be guaranteed a place not only at the university of their choice, but in the history books. I cannot believe that in all the years since Project Ozma shut down, no astronomer, amateur or professional, has pointed a radio telescope at Tau Ceti. Unless the Tau Cetians are in on the conspiracy, of course, and shut off their transmission in 1948, so that when the United States government shut down Project Ozma exactly 12 years later, no stray radio signals would give them away. The narrative of the scientists who let their earth-shattering discovery be suppressed by the government in order to prevent mass panic is a common one in science fiction. It is a tired, pernicious narrative, and one that I would like to see stamped out of fiction in the hope that one day it will fade from the minds of conspiracy mongers. I remain, as always, an optimist. In local news, the 4th annual Lawrence Zombie Walk will be held on Thursday, October 7th. Meet at the gazebo in South Park at 1141 Massachusetts Street. Zombies will begin to gather at 7 p.m., and the walk will begin at 7:30. The Kansas City Science Fiction and Fantasy Society will be holding a Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Workshop on Saturday, October 9th, at the Writers' Place. The workshop will be a panel discussion hosted by Robin Wayne Bailey, Chris McKitterick, and Susan Satterfield. The workshop will begin at noon. Participation is free for society members, $25 for members of the Writer's Place, or $35 for the general public. There will be a free build-your-own cappuccino bar, and art by local SF artists will be on display. The Vortex's own Chris McKitterick will be hosting a book signing on November 5th at the Jayhawk Inc. Bookstore in Lawrence. Come pick up a copy of his debut novel, Transcendence. James Gunn said, quote, "This may be the new space opera," unquote, with capital letters. In Transcendence, humankind rushes toward self-destruction and must evolve or die. The signing begins at 4 p.m. Jayhawk Inc. is inside the Student Union at the University of Kansas, at 1301 Jayhawk Boulevard. The Voice of the Vortex is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works, Share Alike 3.0 license. To comment on this episode, or to submit flash fiction for future shows, drop an email to voiceofthevortex, all one word, at gmail.com. Show notes are available at voiceofthevortex.podbean.com. This is Sarah Frost, the Voice of the Vortex, signing off.